Turn with me, if you would, this morning to 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2. This may not be a passage of Scripture that someone would go to for Father's Day, but it was the passage of Scripture that God was putting in my heart this morning. And I hope it'll be a help to our men for Father's Day, our fathers, our grandfathers, our men, and really all men, and really everyone individually as a child of God as well. I always try to say this on special days like this. We'll preach a Mother's Day message, a Father's Day message, a Grandparents' Day message. Please don't tune out this morning if you're not a father. Don't tune out this morning if you're not a grandfather. Don't tune out this morning if you're not a man this morning. We want this to apply to everyone this morning from 1 Kings chapter number 2. What God desires from a father. What are some characteristics of a father here that we read about in 1 Kings chapter number 2? Now, this was right at the time where David was about to leave this earth through death. And he gives some challenges to his son Solomon. And when God brought me by this passage of Scripture, I thought how fitting, and he continued to speak to my heart about it, how fitting it would be to use this text to encourage men, fathers, grandfathers, Christians today from the Word of God as David gave a charge to his son Solomon before he went into eternity. Look at 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1, if you would. It says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying," now concentrate this morning on what he says to his son, "I go the way of all the earth," which means I'm about to die. I'm about to leave this earth, and we'll come back to that phrase in just a moment. "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." He says, verse 3, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Look at verse 4 if you would. "That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." Now, in 1 Kings chapter number 2, we have a father's instruction to a son. By the way, the same instruction that David gives as an earthly father to his earthly son would be the same instruction that our heavenly father would give to fathers today, and sons today, and ladies today, and daughters today, and Christians today. It's instruction that an earthly father gives to an earthly son, but instructions that a heavenly father would give to a child of God or a child of his. Now, in verse 1 and the first part of verse number 2, we see that David is giving his last words. These are the last statements that he is going to give before he leaves this earth, excuse me, and goes into eternity, and his son Solomon becomes the next king. Can I say this? I know we already understand this, but the final instructions or the last words of a person, there's special interest in the last words of someone, isn't there? There's special interest that we would pay towards the last words or maybe the last charge or statements that somebody would make to us before they would slip into eternity. Think about how powerful these last words are. David loved his son Solomon. Solomon loved his father. It was instruction that was coming from a father that loved his son. The instructions was given to a son who loved his father. And because David was about ready to leave this earth, and because he was going to slip into eternity, the charge that he was going to give to Solomon would not have been, he would not have held back the truth. I mean, these are words that are important. I've got to make sure I share the truth with you. I've got to make sure I tell you everything that I want you to hear before I leave this earth and I turn over the kingship to you. So the words that David was going to speak here and his final moments on earth, they would have been very powerful words, wouldn't they? Some of you today can perhaps go back to a time where you've lost a loved one. And they've shared perhaps words with you right before they went into eternity. And that was something powerful, wasn't it? it held special interest to you because you know what they said to you, or maybe some things that they said to you right before they slipped into eternity. So it held value, didn't it? And if you would, by way of application this morning, consider the fact that Solomon's whole future is going to be changed for the good or for the worse by listening to, or whether he chooses to ignore, his father's counsel and his father's wisdom. Now, with that statement I just said by way of application this morning, we're thinking about Solomon's future and how it's going to be good based on listening to the instruction, but it could go a bad way by ignoring the instruction and the counsel and the wisdom that his father gives. Does that not, this in the same way, apply to earthly relationships today? If we give charges and encouragements and instructions to children and they choose to ignore them, there can be consequences because they've ignored the counsel and the wisdom and the instruction. If we were to tell a child, don't go out onto the road, and they don't listen to the counsel or the wisdom or the instruction of a parent, tragedy can take place, can't it? And so the idea this morning is this: the future of Solomon was going to rest upon whether he took the advice and the wisdom and the counsel and the instruction of his father, whether he received it or whether he refused to listen to it. And the same applies for us today. We use the earthly illustration of children, but how about the spiritual illustration of our Heavenly Father when He gives us instruction? Can I say this morning, the future of your life as a Christian is going to be dependent upon whether you listen to the instruction that your Heavenly Father gives you or whether you choose to ignore the instruction and the counsel and the wisdom that your Heavenly Father gives to you. So David here, really, there was double value in what he was about to speak. Because number one, he was a loving father. But number two, David was a God-fearing man. Think about the value that was held in David's instruction that he was going to give to his son, because not only did he love him as a father, but David, as a God-fearing man, was going to try to give him instruction that was going to help him and cause him to draw nearer to his Heavenly Father. Look back, if you would, at verse number one. The Bible says this: now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon. He charged him. He gives him some orders. He gives him some direction. David's charge to his son. By the way, this charge that David gave to his son had an aim. It had a goal. It wasn't just aimless, or it wasn't just goalless. There was an aim and there was a goal behind this charge that he gave to him. As a matter of fact, we're going to see the parts of that aim and that goal as we go through this Bible message this morning. But really, the aim and the goal, really in a nutshell, or just in a broad view this morning, is he was desiring that his son Solomon would have a right development of his character, a right formation of his character. Isn't that the same for earthly parents today? We want to develop or form character in our children, don't we? And that's exactly what David desires as he gives this charge to Solomon. He realized that if his son's heart was right, then things would go right in his life. If things were well with his heart, if things were well with his relationship with God, things would go right and things would go well in his life. And the same applies to our Heavenly Father today. Our Heavenly Father is interested in developing our character, isn't he? For the young people that are sitting over on this side of the room, God's interested in developing their character. For the young adult in here today, God's interested in developing character. For the senior citizen, for those that are parenting children today, or those that are grandparents, those that are men, those that are ladies, those that are children, young people, God is interested in developing your character just the same way David wanted to develop the character of his son Solomon. And if you would consider what the Bible says about that, really, as parents, as fathers, because we're celebrating Father's Day today, as fathers, as parents, as leaders, our first aim as a father, our first biblical goal or responsibility should be that our children are pointed towards their Heavenly Father by their earthly father. Mothers, that your role would be as an earthly mother to point your children to the Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about that. We already mentioned the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Who is the Bible giving that responsibility to? To the earthly parents, that they would point their children to the Heavenly Father. The Bible talks about how that leaders in the home, the father, is instrumental in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We think about other passages of Scripture in the Bible where there were fathers and sons, or we'll say it this way for the next illustration that I want to give, fathers that would take the role of being a father in the life of perhaps a child who they would refer to as their spiritual son. That, the Bible tells us, is given in the New Testament Bible with the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Paul was not Timothy's father, but he looked at him as his spiritual father. You are my spiritual son, my son in the Lord, or my son in the faith. And he was trying to point Timothy in the right direction, which again is the responsibility that God gives to parents, to point their children in the right direction. As a matter of fact, Paul's admonition that he gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, he encouraged Timothy to take heed unto thyself, he says. Take heed unto thyself. That's what parents are trying to tell their children. You say, wait a minute, I don't say it that way. Well, take heed unto thyself here this morning. We don't say it that way, but the thought that we're trying to tell our children is that you need to develop character in your life. You need to build character in your life. It's not about necessarily concentrating on the character of everybody else around you. It's saying, take heed unto thyself. Make sure that you are building character in your life. You've got to be, and by the way, as leaders, those that are trying to help build character in others, we got to make sure that character is developed and built in our life before we can build it and develop it in the lives of other individuals as well. So Paul is saying to Timothy, take concern for yourself, take heed for yourself. He's encouraging Timothy to be an example. If God is in your heart, make sure that there are things in your life that you are used of God to be an example for. And so he says, take heed unto thyself to Timothy, because he realized that if I'm trying to encourage my son in the faith to build character, if I'm trying to encourage him to develop character, Paul knew along the way there were going to be intruders to developing that character, or intruders to building that character in his life. You say, well, what would those intruders be? The sins that are so easily able to creep up into our lives, the sin of deceit, the sin of lust, the sin of fear and worry and disobedience and lack of faith and lack of faithfulness. He said, I want you to stay away from those things. And he said, instead, I want you to be an example of the believer. And he gives a list to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. You're to be an example when it comes to your love and your conversation and your charity and your spirit and your faith. You're to be an example of all those things. So he's telling him, let's build and develop character in our lives, encouraging Timothy to be an example. How about other men that were on earth as a father that tried to encourage their children? If you go to the end, we're not going to take time to do it right now, but if you would go to the end of the book of Genesis, there's a man named Jacob who has 12 sons, doesn't he? And the Bible tells us that right before he dies, he brings all of his sons in so that he can bless them, and so that he can share with them messages that God has given to him about the futures that await these boys. He's trying to develop some character in them. He's trying to help to build some character in their lives right before he goes on to eternity with the Lord. And then think about the role of the greatest example we could ever find in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do in the hearts and lives of those who were his disciples, who were his followers? Remember, there was a time where Jesus was about to leave this earth. He knew he was going to die on the cross. And so he charged his disciples, and he even told his disciples, by the way, just like David charges Solomon, Jesus charged his disciples and he encouraged them. He said, first of all, I want to let you know it is expedient that I go. I cannot stay here. I have to go, and it's expedient that I go. It's best for you that I go, because I'm going to die on the cross for you. It's best for you that I go as well. And so he challenged them. He encouraged them. The Holy Spirit, he says in John chapter 14, is going to stay down here on earth, and he's going to be with you. And he's going to give you all the power that you need to be able to do greater things than I have even done here on earth. That's what Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 14. He's charging them. He's telling them, I'm going to leave, but the Holy Spirit's going to be the comforter. He's going to come along beside you and be one of the same kind, just like I was here on earth. And you're going to get to see greater things done than even what you saw when I was here on earth. And you may remember before he even ascended into heaven, he gave them one last challenge, didn't he? And that challenge we refer to as the Great Commission, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What was Jesus trying to do with every charge that he gave to his disciples? He was trying to build character, wasn't he? He was trying to develop character in their life, just like David gives this challenge to Solomon, his son, before he leaves this earth, to develop, to build some character in his life. And the challenge that Jesus gave to his disciples was this: you're going to have to carry on when I'm not on earth. See, that's what David's trying to tell Solomon. You're going to have to carry on. When my time comes to an end, everything doesn't stop just because I'm gone. You're going to have to carry on. And that's what David's challenging Solomon with. That's what every father should challenge their son with. I want you to carry on. I want you, when my time on this earth comes to an end, I want to have developed so much character in you and built so much character in you that when my time comes to an earth end, you can carry on and you can do what God's plan for your life is to the best of your ability, because we've tried to develop that. And that's what David's saying when he talks to his son Solomon here. He charges him. Matter of fact, David's desire for his son was that he would avoid some of the errors and the evils that crept into the life of David. Think about that as we charge our children as parents, as grandparents. What are we trying to do? We're trying to help them to realize there were some mistakes I made. And because I made some mistakes, I want to make sure that you don't make those mistakes all over again. So he's fearful and encouraging his son. That his desire would be that you don't make those same errors or run into those same evils. But he's also, his desire also is that his son would fully yield to God and would know what it was to serve the Lord. So real quickly here, would we look at the next few verses and see how Solomon encourages his son here at the latter part of this message. Would you look with me at 1 Kings chapter 2 and look at the middle part of verse number 2. I want you to notice several things here in these verses to follow. He says, number one, be thou strong therefore. Men, I'd like to encourage you this morning. I'd like to encourage you this morning from what David says to his earthly son. Just as the Heavenly Father would say to us, and again, it doesn't apply to just men today, we'll encourage our church as a whole with the two words this morning, be strong. God desires that we be strong. See, David realized that Solomon's life, if it was going to be a life that was going to please the Lord, he knew that it would be a life that would have to be lived requiring God to give him the strength that he needed. Remember when Joshua first took over? Joshua had taken over the leadership of Moses. And remember the words and the comfort and the encouragement Joshua was given, and then he gave that same comfort and encouragement to the children of Israel. Remember what the words were? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Young people that are sitting in here today, you're going to have to learn to be strong as a child of God. Adults that are sitting in here today, we're going to have to learn to have to be strong in the service of the Lord. And by the way, the source of that strength is none other than God. He is who gives us the strength to be strong and have that courage. As a matter of fact, he says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, he gives the pieces of armor, doesn't he? And when he gives to us the pieces of armor, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did you notice he said, be strong in the Lord? See, the Lord is the source of our strength, isn't he? God is the source of my strength. He's the one that is developing strength in my life. And then remember, when I get a little bit weary, what does he say in the book of Isaiah? He says he is able to renew our strength. Have you ever had a time spiritually in your life where you've gotten a little weary? You know, the Bible says it this way, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You ever had a time, spiritually speaking, where you got a little weary, where you just needed some strength? The Bible says that he is able, God is able to develop strength in our life. But he's not only the source of developing strength in our life, he is also the source of renewing our strength as well. I know when we got back from camp on Friday, we were a little weary. I'd say the junior campers would have said that. A little weary on the way back home from camp. I'm talking about times where we get physically weary, yes, but I'm talking about times when we get spiritually weary. And we just need God to renew our strength. May all of us in here, may men that are leaders in your homes, fathers to your children, be strong in the Lord. Think about Bible examples that are given of men who had mighty power. And why did they have mighty power and accomplish great and mighty things for the Lord? It was all found in the source of their strength, and it was God and God alone. Men today, fathers today, grandfathers, Christians today, that would include all of us as a whole. Let's be strong in the Lord, and let's make sure that God is the source of our strength. But then would you look at the end of verse number 2? So number 1, the challenge is be strong. But look at the end of verse number 2. It says this. I like the way he words this. And show thyself a man. Here's the second thought I want to give this morning. Number 1, we said God's encouraging us to be strong. The charge that David gave to his son. The charge that our Heavenly Father would give to those who are his children. Number 1, be strong. But number 2, be the man that God made you to be. That's what the Bible's saying here at the end of verse number 2. David is saying to Solomon, be the man that God made you to be. We're living in a world today in which we need men to be men. We need men to act like men. You know, the Bible talks about how we're to be strong in the Lord, but it also talks about how that men are to act like men. Men are to be the man that God created them to be. So what does that look like? According to the scripture, what does it look like to be the man that God has created men to be? Number 1, God's word says that men are to be leaders. Men are to be leaders. Men are to take the role and the responsibility of leadership, number 1, within their homes. Men are to be leaders in their homes. But men are to be leaders in the walls of the church as well. Men, would we be the leaders that God wants us to be? Men, if you're going to take on the responsibility and the role of being the man that God wants you to be, number 1, you're going to have to be a leader. Would you ask God to help you with that? By the way, when we talk about men being a leader in their homes and men being a leader in their church, the word that we would use to describe what kind of leadership we're talking about is spiritual leadership. We need men to spiritually lead their homes. We need men that are going to gather their families together and say, when the doors of God's house are open, we're going to be there. We need men to gather their families together and say, hey, it's time to spend some time together in the Word of God as a family, and that's what we're going to do. To stand as leaders in their homes and to stand as leaders in the church, God requires that, gives the role, gives the responsibility of leadership to a man in a home. But number 2, God clearly tells us that a man ought to be a provider as well. You want to be the man that God wants you to be, you're going to be a leader. But you want to be the man that God wants you to be, you're going to be a provider as well. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it this way. If a man is not providing for the needs of his own home, he is worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. If he's not providing for the needs of his own home, we need to be providers in our homes as well. Now, this deals with the physical part of it, doesn't it? So a leader in a home, in a church, that's dealing with the spiritual part of it. But the provider, that's dealing with the physical part of it, isn't it? To make sure that our wives are taken care of and our children are taken care of and we're meeting the needs as a provider in our homes as well. But then, God, if you want to be the man God wants you to be, number 3, you got to be an example. You got to be an example. Just like Paul said to Timothy, I want you to take heed of yourself so that you're the example of what God wants you to be. The challenge is given to us as men as well, all throughout Scripture, that we are to be the example. The example in loving our wives. God has given that duty for a husband, right? He's to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're to love our wives just as Christ did, just as he showed the perfect example. So men, today let's love our wives the way that God has designed and he has set up for a man to love his wife. Number 2, God has given that responsibility of men to be an example when it comes to raising their children. Now I know, again, we probably have examples that are of men that are sitting in here and you're not at that stage in your life right now. I understand all of that. But for those that are at that stage in their life, God has given that responsibility for men to be an example when it comes to raising their children, when it comes to the discipline of their child, and when it comes to the training of their child, that they would be in the Word of God, they would be faithful to the house of God, as we've talked about already, so that we can be raising children, loving our wives to be the example that God wants us to be as men. And then another example that God has called upon men to be is in serving the Lord as well. Let's be men that serve the Lord. I'm thankful that when we brought up these men today that had their babies dedicated to the Lord, that they are men that are faithfully serving the Lord in our church. They're faithfully serving the Lord in the local church. They look at that as being important. Men, let's take on roles of responsibility and leadership in places of service in the local church. That's what God desires of us. So he's saying, number one, you got to be strong. But number two, let's be the man that God has made us to be. And I'll say this, the man that is most like God made him to be is the man who is like God. The man that is most like the man whose God has made him to be is the one who is like his heavenly Father. Think about the title that we give to David. You could say it without me even saying it. You already know what his title is. He's a man after God's own heart. See, he was the man that God wanted him to be because he was like the God who had given him life. And that's what David's challenge and charge is to his son Solomon. Be the man that God wants you to be. Be like the God that has given you life. You think about men real quick. You think about what our God is like so that we can be God-like. God is truth. So men, we've got to be truthful, don't we? We got to make sure that we are telling the truth. See, remember, those were things that David wanted Solomon to avoid. I've had some things I've messed up in my life. I want you to make sure that you follow the right pattern. Paul says it to Timothy as well. I want you to make sure that the things that will get you off track as far as developing and building your character are things that you don't give into, but instead you follow the pattern of being God-like. God is truth. Men, let's be truth. God is just, which means he'll do that which is right. Men, may we have a pattern in our life of doing that which is right. God is virtuous. Men, let's be virtuous and pure in our lives so that we can be the man that God wants us to be. God is love, isn't he? God is love. Men, we ought to love God. We ought to love our wives. We talked about that already. We ought to love our children. We ought to love others around us. And God has even given us the duty and responsibility to even love our enemies, right? Even those that might mistreat us and persecute us, we're to be people that have love in our hearts, love one to another, because God is a God of love. God is a God who's wise. Men, may you ask God to help you to be wise. In James chapter 1, he says it this way, if you lack wisdom, just ask of God. And he'll give to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. He won't scold you for asking. He'll give you all the wisdom that you need if you'll just go to him. Think about the fruit of the Spirit that God gives to us in the book of Galatians. They are attributes of our God as well. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Men, may we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so that we can be the examples that we need to be God-like in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that we are to think on things that are true and just and holy and right and pure, just like our God as an example to us, our Heavenly Father. What a testimony of His life, even in that verse, of what He has asked us as His people to think on. Let's be the man that God wants us to be. There's a verse in the New Testament. I shared this with our men a few weeks ago during our father-son cookout. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says this for men. Listen to this, men. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. We already talked about being strong, and we talked about being the man that God wants us to be. He's saying here in 1 Corinthians that we are to quit ye like men, and it's a simple way of saying, act like a man. Act like the man that God has called you to be. May we, number one, be strong. May we, number two, be the man that God called us to be. But can I finish quickly? Look at verse 3 and look at verse 4 and we'll be done. He says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to thy way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Number three, we said number one, we got to be strong. Number two, we got to be the man that God has created us to be. But here's the last charge or challenge that David gives to his son Solomon before he leaves this earth. He says, number three, you got to learn to be obedient. You got to learn to be obedient. Now, what are we to obey? We're to obey the word of God. God's word clearly tells us men and Christians, all of us together, what God desires of our life. Let's be obedient to the word of God, to walk in his ways, to walk in his statutes, to walk in his precepts and his commandments that he has given to us. Let's obey the word of God, but let's also follow and obey the will of God for our lives as well. God has a will for every life that's sitting in here today. May we as men, may we as Christians, follow and obey the will of God for our lives. Now, can I say this? Here's something David knew something about. There is an importance in completely obeying the Lord, not just partially obeying the Lord. So David's not challenging his son, well, just obey the Lord at about 50%. That'll be fine. Just partially obey the Lord, or just hit and miss when it comes to your obedience. No, he's asking Solomon to completely obey the Lord, because David knew what it was like to disobey the Lord, because David took over for a king that disobeyed the Lord, didn't he? He took over for Saul, and Saul partially obeyed the Lord. You might remember the story of how he was told to go and destroy the enemy. And the Bible tells us he brought back the king. He brought back the choice sacrifice, the choice animals. And he began to make excuses as to why he did what he did. And remember, the prophet Samuel said to him, it's better to obey God than sacrifice. Talked about his rebellion and how his rebellion was contrary to what God wanted. He partially obeyed the Lord, but he didn't completely obey the Lord. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for complete obedience. And then did you notice in verse 3 and 4, we won't take the time to look at them again, but did you notice the results of obedience? He used the word prosper there. I like the word prosper. You want to prosper today, obey the Lord. You want to see God's blessings? He says very clearly that if you're willing to obey, he said, thou mayest prosper. There's going to be good things that come from it, blessings that come from it. And by the way, God's going to keep his word. And so if we continue in God's ways, then he will continue in his word, which means this: if we do what God asked us to do, God will do what he said he would do. But we have to also remember that that promise that God has given to us for obedience is conditional, which means that we're only going to get to receive the blessings if we actually do the obeying. See, you got to do the obeying in order to get the blessings. But with obedience comes blessings. With obedience comes safety. With obedience comes prosperity. And can I say this? All of that blessing and all of that safety and all of that prosperity in your life that you receive as a result of your obedience is not because you deserve it. It's because you have a God who loves you, and a God who is gracious, and a God who is merciful, and a God who is forgiving. So may we learn to humbly obey and prayerfully depend upon the Lord. Men, the encouragement this morning, Christians, the encouragement this morning is, number one, be strong. Go to God as the source of your strength. He'll develop strength in your life, and he will renew your strength when you need it renewed. Number two, for our men in here today, and really Christians alike, let's be the man that God's created us to be. Let's be the Christian that God has created us to be. Men, you've got some roles in your home. I've got some roles in my home. And we need to try to fulfill those roles to the best of our ability. According to God's word, we've got some roles and responsibilities and duties that we have to fulfill. Let's be the man that God has created us to be. And then number three, let's make sure we are walking in obedience. Walking in obedience and then expecting the blessings and the goodness of God, not because we deserve it, but he promised that if we continue in his ways, that he'll continue in his word and he'll do exactly what he said he would do. Father, I pray you'd take this challenge this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help to use it in our hearts today as we've heard this challenge from David, this charge from David to his son Solomon.